Well, our reading this morning was from Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about two ways that people can go. There are two choices that people can make in life. There is the broad way and there is the narrow way. Matthew 7:13, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 says, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the broad way is the way that is taken by many people. And according to the Lord Jesus, the narrow way is the way that's taken by few people. And you might say the narrow way is the road less travelled. It's the road most people today throughout the world don't take. It's the road that most people in Australia don't take. But the broad way leads to destruction, but the narrow way leads to life. Two roads. Important to ask the question, which road are you on? Are you on the narrow road or are you on the broad roads? Years ago, I was in Germany. And if you've ever done some driving in Germany, I've had the privilege of driving over there. They have what they call autobahns. And they have some roads over there that are up to 8 lanes in width. There's 4 lanes going one way, 4 lanes going the other way. And in some parts of Germany on those autobahns, you can actually drive as fast as you think is safe. Isn't that amazing? You know, we used to be able to do that in Australia. Does anyone remember the old round signs and they had a cross going through? And it actually meant you can drive as fast as you like, as long as it's safe. And then they said, all right, instead of pulling all those signs down at once, they changed it and they said, well, the rules are when you see a sign with a cross in it, it's 100 kilometre speed limits. So don't go away from here. And if you happen to see one of those signs saying, Pastor Wall said I can drive as fast as I can. No, you can't. You're limited to 100 kilometres. But in the autobahns, these huge wide roads, you can drive as fast as you like. I was reading on the internet this morning about someone commenting on the autobahn. I have happily driven in a large section of the autobahn at over 250 kilometres an hour and still had people flying past me. It astonishes me that those people can adjust back down accurately again when they reach small roads. Imagine being 250 kilometres an hour and someone screams past you. Well, that wasn't me when I was on the autobahns in Germany. Now, Germany is known for its wide roads, its broad roads, but Germany is also known for the narrowest street in the world. And the narrowest street in the world in Germany is in a place called Reutlingen. And the narrowest point of this street is 12.2 inches. 12.2 inches. You can look it up on the internet. And they warn tourists that you've actually got to be careful if you decide that you want to go down that road. I mean, if you've just been to a German sausage or schnitzel festival, it's not the best road to go down. You need to be very careful. And locals in this town of Reutlingen, what they do is, some of them, when they go on a diet, they go to that street and they measure the fact of whether they can get through that street or not. And if they can get through that street, they know that they've lost weight. Germany has its broad ways and Germany has its narrow ways. And Jesus indicates that there is the broad way and there is the narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, when you read the rest of the passage in Matthew chapter 7, we discover that there are people that have false faith, and there are people that have true faith. There are people that, with the false faith, they bring forth bad fruits. And the people that have true faith are people that hear God's words and they obey God's words and they bring forth good fruits. Now, something that's not talked about in the church a lot these days, and I mean the church at large, is what Jesus talks about in this passage as well. Not only does Jesus talk about false faith and true faith, not only does he talk about the broad road and the narrow road, but Jesus talks about false prophets. And it's very important for the church today to be aware that there are false prophets and false prophetesses in the church today. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruits. True prophets bring forth good fruit. False prophets bring forth bad fruits. Now, how do we tell who is a true prophet and who is a false prophet? Well, the prophet Isaiah gives some advice in the Old Testament in regards to this. Isaiah 8 verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So if a preacher preaches in contrary to God's words, then there's no light in them. That's one way to tell a false prophet. You need to check out every preacher that you hear. You need to check me out too. And one of the ways of checking out all preachers is simply, do they speak according to God's word? Does what they say line up with the word of God? Now, Paul warned people in the early church about false teachers, and he gave a bit of their characteristics, Acts 20, verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So in the early church, Paul was aware that the people of God had to be careful of wolves, he described them. Wolves like sheep. Wolves like sheep because wolves eat the sheep. And the sheep need to be careful of the wolves. Now, as he warned them in the early church, I need to say that we live in far different times than Paul did in the early church back then. I think we live actually in far more dangerous times for Christians in some ways than what Paul did in his day. And one of the dangers that we have is that there is a proliferation of false teachers like never before in history. And the other thing, if you compare us with the early church, was if you had a false teacher in the early church, what he had to do was either speak face to face with a group of people to get his message across, or he had to write down his message, and that message had to be copied by writing things down again and again, such as letters, and those letters would have had to be distributed to people. So it took a while for false teachers to get their message out throughout the world. The major difference today is that if a false teacher wants to proclaim his message today, at the click of a button, he can bring his message out to the world in real time, there and then. And he could speak to maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, or maybe millions of people, which was unthought of in the Apostle Paul's day. in Paul's day. There's no printing press, there's no computers, there's no internet, there was no TV, there was no aeroplanes, there was no fast trains, there was no cars. So if a false teacher wanted to get from one place to the other, he either had to walk, he had to get on a horse, or maybe ride in a chariot, or get in a boat. Travel was a lot slower then, but false teachers now can hop on planes, they can skip around the globe in a matter of hours, they can travel to places, and they can put their messages on the internet. And today we have multitudes of false teachers. And there's a great chance that your children or your grandchildren will be influenced by a false teacher today, in the day and age that we live in. Now let me tell you a few more things about false teachers. False teachers can actually be detected. And how you detect a false teacher, Jesus gives us the way to detect them, and it's in Matthew 7 verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. And their fruit is bad fruit. It's not good fruit. A couple of ways that we can also detect false teachers is by their visions and their dreams. Jeremiah 23 verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own hearts and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So false prophets today might say, I had a vision. Or I felt this in my heart. Or I had a dream. And they equate that dream to God speaking to them. Jeremiah 23 verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreams. I have dreams. So false prophets speak about their false visions that come from their imaginations, that come from their own hearts. Jude called false teachers filthy dreamers. Jude 1 verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Filthy dreamers. False teachers seduce God's people with words of peace rather than words of judgment. So false teachers today, they're telling a lot of their congregations, everything's fine. There's going to be great times coming ahead. They prophesy good things for the church. Now, I do hope that there might be revival in our nation, that there might be revival in this church, that there might be revival in this city. But when I look at God's word, I don't see worldwide revival. I see that we're heading to worldwide disaster. The false teachers seduce God's people with words of peace rather than words of judgment. Ezekiel 13 verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. Jeremiah 23, verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. False teachers teach today, believe it or not, it's all right to sin. False teachers teach that sexual immorality is okay. False teachers today teach, don't believe God's word. It doesn't really mean what it said. It's not black and white. It's actually grey. False teachers are false. Jesus, back in his day, warned of judgment to come. Paul warned of judgment to come. A lot of the preachers today are saying, you might say, peace and safety, it's all going to be cool. Jesus warned of judgment to come. Paul warned of judgment to come. John warned of judgment to come. Jude warned of judgment to come. The Old Testament prophets warned of judgment to come. Let me just take a few scriptures. Jesus warned of judgment to come. Matthew 24 verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 spoke about judgment to come. Jesus spoke about dreadful days ahead for the world. The Apostle Paul spoke about judgment to come. Paul, at one stage, he got into major trouble for preaching in Jerusalem, and so he found himself before a man called Felix, who was a governor of Judea and Samaria, and Paul had to speak to him. Well, Paul was not afraid of dignitaries. So he was not afraid of kings or governors or the rulers of the Jews. He was black and white in his preaching. And this is what Paul said before Felix. The Bible records it here in Acts 24, verse 24. The Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." What power the Apostle Paul must have had, standing before an appointed governor, and he speaks of judgment to come, and Felix trembles. Oh, we need people like the Apostle Paul that will honestly speak of judgment to come. We need people to be trembling in the pews, not clapping in the pews, trembling in the pews, because they know there's a judgment. Well, John warned of judgment to come. Can anyone tell me where the Apostle John warned of judgment to come? Well, if you read the book of Revelation, just start at chapter 6 and go all the way to chapter 19, and you'll find chapter after chapter speaks about the end time judgments. John the Apostle, the Apostle that loved the Lord Jesus, he's taken as a prisoner and he's put out on Patmos. And there he has this wonderful vision, and the Lord Jesus Christ asks him to write down a book. And he writes down the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And he writes about the beauty of the Lord Jesus. But he also writes about the judgment to come. Jude also warned of the judgment to come. And this is just some of God's people that warned of judgment. Jude chapter 14 or verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all." The Lord Jesus spoke of judgment, Paul spoke of judgment, John spoke of judgment, Jude spoke of judgment. Many of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament writers spoke of the judgment to come. You know, I believe that this world is on the brink of judgment. And sadly, there are few pastors warning their people that we could be around the corner from the tribulation period, and what will usher the tribulation period in is the rapture of God's people. Another fruit of false teachers is that they seduce people with giving them things that they want to hear. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." So in the last days there's going to be coming false teachers, and they're going to tell the people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. False teachers deny the work of Christ on the cross. 2 Peter 2 verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." You know, there are popular preachers today that say that Jesus did not die for all people, that Jesus just died for an elect people. Take them to this verse, 2 Peter 2 verse 1. And it shows you about the false prophets, and it says, even denying the Lord that bought them. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world, including false preachers and false prophets who are heading to hell. His atonement was for them, and his atonement was for every single person that has ever lived. False teachers, another fruit of false teachers, is they cause division. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So there's false teachers that are going to cause division in the church. We are to avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. If you've ever listened to a false teacher, and I don't recommend listening to false teachers, but what they do is they put good seed and bad poison together. I don't know if you've ever tried to kill a rat. There's various different ways of killing rats. One of the modern ways now is sticky mats. Has anyone had a sticky mat or a rat on a sticky mat? There's these sticky mats you can get. My son tried them. He was having rats in the house he was boarding in coming into his room. And so I got a sticky mat for him. The only problem is the rat gets on the sticky mat and you've got to negotiate to get him off the sticky mat. It's not a good way to do it. That's probably a bad way to catch rats. But a way that's been tried for many years is using a product such as Ratsack. And if you look at the ingredients of Ratsack, there's wheat in it. There's good grains and there is poison. And false teachers do the same thing. They have good feed and they have poison in their teaching. So not every false teacher is initially recognised by bad teaching. They don't come dressed in a black coat and wearing horns of the devil or anything like that. They actually come with good food to begin with. And they mix good food with poison foods. That's why they're so dangerous. False teachers, they look just like the sheep. Matthew 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. False teachers look like the sheep. They don't look like the wolves. We had a friend in Gunnedah. I used to be a minister in Gunnedah. And there was a guy that we knew. His name was Greg. He used to run the local youth group. And Greg was a sheep farmer. And if you talk about sheep with him and you find out, one of the biggest threats to his sheep were foxes. We don't have wolves in Australia, but were foxes. And one thing about foxes is that foxes love to hang out with the sheep. On a night in some of the farms in Gunnedah, if you have a very powerful, if it's a sheep farm and you have a very powerful torch and you go around like that at the outside of the paddock, you'll see these gleaming eyes at you. Now, what are they? They're foxes. Foxes love to hang out with the sheep. But they've got a motive. They love to eat the sheep. And especially when it's lambing time. Foxes love lambs. Foxes love ewes when they're lambing because they can't get away. They hang out with the sheep. False teachers, they hang out with the sheep. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. They sing like sheep. But they're not sheep. They're wolves. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Another characteristic, Jesus warned of false teachers with false signs and wonders. I believe as we get towards the time of the tribulation period, and particularly in the tribulation period, there's going to be false prophets that are going to do amazing, miraculous things. We have false prophets on the stage today. I'll name one of them, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn claims that he can do all these incredible miracles, yet his teaching is false. And if you talk to people, they'll tell you that his miracles are false as well. Jesus warns us. Mark 13, verse 21. If any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The Pope is a false teacher. The Pope and his priests have false signs and wonders. And one of the biggest false signs and wonders that the Pope proclaims and the priests proclaim is that they proclaim that they can bring Jesus out of heaven and bring him into the communion host. And then they proclaim that they can turn a communion host and the wine into the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus. The Catholic Church proclaims that Mary has appeared on the earth in various places and continues to appear. And there are signs in the skies that Roman Catholics believe that are attributed to Mary. False signs and false wonders. There is a false way and there is a true way. There are false teachers of the Bible and there are true teachers of the Bible. Look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 7. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's two roads. There's two types of prophets. Can I ask you, are you on the narrow road that leads to life? Or are you on the broad way that leads to death and destruction? Years ago, when I was a kid, I was probably about 15 or so, there was a farm that I was aware of, and I was with a guy, and we were trying to salvage an old truck. I think it was a 51 Morris Commercial. It had broken down on one of the roads in the farm, and the guy that was with me, he was a bit mechanically minded, and he was able to get this truck going, and I'd actually agreed to purchase this truck off the farmer. I think I bought two trucks for $20, 10 each. One was an Austin and one was a Morris Commercial. And as you can imagine, it wasn't in the best of condition for $10, but it was a good price. And so this fellow, who was handy with mechanics, we went to the bush road and he got it started. And he managed to drive down the road, but to get out of the farm, we had this very, very steep, rocky road that we had to go up in order to get out and get this truck back to my place. I get in the truck at the bottom of the hill. He drove the truck alone by himself down the hill because it actually didn't have brakes, but he was able to do it well. And he got down. I got in at the bottom of the hill. I was safety conscious. And we started driving through this farm, and then we end up going up this rocky road, a narrow rocky road. And we're getting up, and I think we got probably, maybe half, three quarters of the way up there, and the Morris Commercial stalls. And there's no brakes. And I don't know what he did, whether he put it into neutral or whether first gear wouldn't hold the truck, but I found myself going backwards, heading down a rocky road, and I knew the conclusion was not going to be good. Within seconds, I opened the door and I ejected. I went down, I believe, went down into the bush, and this guy continued, and his name was Guy, this guy continued holding onto that wheel and going all the way down. I bailed out, I got out of the truck, I got away from the roads, because I knew destruction was happening. Well, it was a bit of a sad end. He was quite fine. He didn't get injured. But a tree went right through the back of the truck. It went like that. Went right up the tray because he drove the tray backwards, a truck backwards into a tree. And the tree went right up towards, heading towards the axle and got stuck there. But I had to get out. I knew I was on a road that was going to lead to destruction, so I bailed out. Are you on the broad road? Are you on the dangerous road? Or are you on the narrow road? The Lord Jesus made it quite clear, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The Christian life is a narrow way. The non-Christian life is a broad way. A broad way that leads to destruction. How do we get on the narrow way? Well, first of all, we've got to come to the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The first step in getting on the narrow way is to come to the way, who is Jesus Christ. Have you come to the only way to heaven? Have you come to the only way, which is the Lord Jesus? When Peter spoke in Jerusalem, he spoke to the rulers and elders of Israel, and he indicated that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation. Acts 4 verse 11, he talks about Jesus as the stone, and he says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is a narrow way to salvation, and Jesus is the way. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he indicated that there was only one mediator between God and man, and that was Christ Jesus. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Have you ever heard this? Jesus died. That's history. Jesus died for me. That's Christianity. Plenty of people know that Jesus died. But a true Christian knows that Jesus died for me, for every single sin I've ever committed and every single sin I will ever commit. Jesus died for me. Isaac Watts wrote that wonderful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and he said this, See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What a beautiful hymn. You know, there are some people that think that they're going to go on the way to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. Keeping the Ten Commandments won't get you to heaven. Does God want us to keep his commandments? Yes, but it's not a way to get to heaven. You see, because we can't keep all the Ten Commandments. A pastor in America wrote this, when a person tries to be righteous by keeping the Ten Commandments or by doing good works, God rejects that. Why would God do that? Because God is holy and man is sinful at his best. The best that we can do is not enough. If we should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all. That's James 2 verse 10. He goes on and he says, God demands perfection and we just can't supply it. Salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It is a gift for the guilty. Salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It is a gift to be received. Wise words. We have a narrow way of salvation. We have a narrow way to follow. We have a Saviour, and his name
is the Lord Jesus.
Do you know that according to the Bible, most people are on the broad way? Most people are going the wrong way. Jesus is the only way, and following him is the only way that leads to life. There was a famous violinist, and his name was Kreisler, and he wrote this: "Narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, and week after week for years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I travelled was a narrow road, and the way was hard." We're not learning the violin. We only get one life. But it is a narrow way. A narrow way for you and I. How can we get on that narrow way? How can we stay on that narrow way? Well, the scriptures tell us how. Psalm 119, verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy words. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." There is a narrow way, and there is a broad way. The beginning of the way is to find Jesus Christ as Saviour. To keep on the way is to keep in God's word. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." May you and I take the narrow way. May you and I take the road that's less travelled.